Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Horse Business Podcast. Today, I am so honored to have Zachary Layden as our guest. Zachary is a distinguished military veteran with an inspiring story of resilience and transformation. After facing mental challenges post-service, he discovered strength through his deep connection with horses. This led him to establish a thriving horse recreational business, but what truly sets Zachary apart is his commitment to helping veterans one ride at a time. He offers military veterans the opportunity to ride for free every day, ensuring they find healing through the therapeutic power of horseback riding. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. So we just want to learn a little bit more about you and about your background. So how did you first become interested in horses? Can you tell us about your background and how you got started in the horse industry?
Yeah, so getting started in the horse industry and getting interested in horses, two different things. when I was in high school, I met a girl and she liked horses. So obviously I liked horses, right? and then over time, I found to like the horses more than I liked her. So I had to kind of like beg to go hang out with her horses at the stables when she came with different guys, you know. A little weird. Then I left for the military and I went and cowboyed on the weekends and would go to different ranches and stables and mostly volunteered my time. Sometimes got paid, but that was the next progression. Again, trying to be around horses as much as possible. Then I went to Afghanistan and when I came back, I got out of the military shortly after that, out of active duty, and I did what I thought was the right choice and went to college. And when I was going to college, I got on the equestrian team. I did a little bit, but mostly I was just focusing on my studies and I was getting depressed. I had a PTSD element to this. Couldn't get my mind out of the past. I was getting anxiety and mostly just frustrated with the idea that I couldn't make sense of why I was there, and I didn't seem to think that anybody in the civilian world even knew, you know, that there was a war going on. There was just a lot of emotions moving around, and there was a moment where a gentleman asked me to help him tip some Mustangs, which I never tipped Mustangs, but I had a background with horses. I was like, well, this guy was a military veteran too, by the way. And I think he saw that it might be able to help me. So he brought me over. He never said that was the reason. But I started to, you know, feel like myself again. I started by going there once a week, then twice a week. And then every free moment that I had, I would go over there and help them with these Mustangs. And then he sent me out to some clinics, Buck Brandeman clinics. He paid for them, which was really nice at first. And I got addicted to that and the natural horsemanship style way. And there came a moment where I looked at where I was and kind of looked at it like, you know, there's never a point in my life where I'm gonna have less responsibility. There's never gonna be a point in my life where I have a clear path in any direction. And I really want to make a living with horses. So I'm just going to do it. And so I dropped everything and I just jumped in with both feet. And I made one business with the horse industry. And then that developed into a bigger one I eventually got to the point where I just bought a multi-million dollar horse facility here in San Francisco. So it kind of snowball affected itself to where we're at now.
Nice. Wow. That's wonderful. That's great. So can you share with us that inspiration behind your mission of helping veterans one ride at a time?
Yeah. So, like I told you guys, the military took a toll on me, and coming back took an even bigger toll on me, and the horses saved me. But looking back on it, I don't believe I would have ever went to get help. I don't think that I thought that I needed help. Looking at it now, I absolutely needed it. And the horses were a saving grace, and they absolutely changed the trajectory of my life completely, not just by building a business around it, but they're just healing creatures. And there was a moment where I went to the VA and I met a gentleman there. His name is Michael. And He was frustrated because he couldn't get a ride home. I ended up giving him a ride. I heard that he was close to where my ranch was. So I said, sure, I could bring you to your place. As we were driving, I noticed that, you know, his frustrations and his irritations and what was going on in his life. I was like, you know what? I think horses might help this guy. So I brought him to the ranch. I got him on a horse. I had my employees take him out for a ride, and he came back and I'm like, okay, just give me a few minutes and we can get you home. And he asked if he can stay longer.
Oh, nice. So
he stayed the whole day just grooming horses and hanging out. And I took him home and he asked if he can come the next day. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Now I was feeling like that guy, that Vietnam vet who brought me in. I'm like, hey, I'm that guy now. I'm going to help this guy through horses.
Nice.
So I brought him out the next day and I started teaching him some groundwork techniques. And we started, building this relationship with the horses and with him and with our team. And he came out like every day for like 2 months. And one day he came out and he said, hey, I was going to go home and kill myself. And you brought me to the ranch and it changed everything for me. And that was the first time that I was just like, okay, I'm going to do more of this. Like, I was like, I made a difference and that felt good. And I wanted to provide horses to more people.
Yeah.
Cause it changed my life and I didn't know how it was going to change my life. It changed this guy's life and he had no idea that was going to happen. So my idea is let veterans come out and ride for free and open the door completely. No red tape. You just show proof of service and you can come out for a guided trail ride. You can come out for a lesson. I do horsemanship, leadership through horsemanship clinics, and veterans can come to those for free too. So there's no red tape. They can be as much or as little as part of this as they want. And if we're lucky, maybe they'll get some sort of therapy out of it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, that's incredible. That's a great story. So, we're talking about the therapeutic benefits of that. So you have seen impacting these veteran what kind of feedback have you received from that? I mean, other than the story that you just told us.
Yeah. So I've gotten a lot of that type of feedback. There's another gentleman who came out and he's been hanging in there for like 4+ maybe 5 years. I've switched facilities. I've progressed to where I'm at now, and he's moved along with me as I switch facilities. He'll take the time to get out there. And this guy, amazing guy, but lost. He was super lost when I met him, and you could see that he was depressed. And through the horses, he found a new identity, and he's kind of revolved his life around it. Worked on building a business around it himself. And I could just, I don't want to say his name. I don't want to blast him.
No.
he's very, very involved.
Private.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, nice. And it changed his life completely. And, I've had dozens and dozens of veterans that have come and just enjoyed rides, hundreds and hundreds of veterans that just come and enjoy rides, but dozens of them that have come and kind of like made the horses a part of their identity because of this. So,
wow, that's great. So how long have you been at Ocean View Stables? I mean, you said you've been moving to different places, but always in California, right?
Yeah. So always in California. This is the newest thing. We just purchased this, my wife, my business partner and his wife purchased this 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. This is pretty new.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're already in the black as far as the business of horses is concerned. Mm-hmm. We're really good at this. and this is the most beautiful property yet, with trail rides down to the beach.
Wow.
Just moments away from the pictures. San Francisco Zoo. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So what type of services do you offer at this facility? You offer training and you also offer some trail rides to the beach, right?
Yeah, so the property, it has the most beautiful trails. So we have a trail ride, guided trail ride option. Then we do lessons, and we have a robust program. When you come into it, you know exactly what you're going to do. You get a packet that shows every step of the way from level, the whole level one program will show all of the foundational horsemanship skills that you should know by the end of it. And you get checked off the list as you're going through that process. Then you go to level two, which goes into the more fine equitation. Mm. And then level three is what I call the universal horsemanship program. It's where I sponsor my students with my horses and tack, and we will go to different competitions. And okay. The goal is not to be the best at these competitions. The goal is to be able to have fun and then show good horsemanship through the process. So it's not about being the best in that industry. It's about showing that you are going to treat the horse right, and that you're going to come in with great horsemanship, and that you're going to put in the horsemanship techniques and also have fun, of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so the process of that is they have to do 7 different competitions. Mm-hmm. And so we go through the process of training the horse for the new competition. And so mm-hmm. they go through that with us. Then we go to the competition. Nice. We do a few competitions, work on the horsemanship through it, and then mm-hmm. Move on to the next one. So.
And what type of competition? Is it jumping or dressage or?
I am not dictating that. What I do I allow my team to choose, because again, even with me, I want to be a universal horseman. So if they choose something I haven't done, great. Yeah. Let's get somebody out here who's more proficient in this. They can school us all up, do a clinic for us, get us right. We'll get the horses mm-hmm. right. We'll go do it. The last thing we did was endurance racing. We did some Gymkhana before that, cutting, reining, sorting. Mm-hmm. So if somebody said, hey, we're going to do jumping, I've never jumped before, but hey, okay, let's go. let's figure this out. I'll get a clinician over here. I'll get somebody over. They'll teach the team, that we'll add the natural horsemanship to it. We'll go in there, always treat the horse right, always do it the right way. And if we, have fun, great. If somebody finds that that's the passion and they want to stick to it, great. Then mm-hmm. we find an expert in that field for that student and move them on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's a good approach. I mean, you're kind of serving them through what they want to do. They're not just specifically putting one type of riding style at the facility. Well, so that's good.
Yeah, well, actually, the one style in the facility is I follow the Ray Hunt, Dorns Brothers, Buck Brannaman style of natural horsemanship. Okay. And I believe with good foundation, you're able to go a lot of ways. And so the idea is I'm not trying to make you a cutter. I'm not trying to make you a reiner. I'm not trying to make you a cow horse expert. I just want you to get your feet wet, try all of these things, know that with good horsemanship, you can go in mm-hmm. all of these different directions. And then if you choose one, like if you go into the cutting industry, great. We'll find you an expert in that field. I have friends that would be happy to take on a student at your level and move you up to the next level. So
nice. Yeah, that's great. So I read you also had a partnership with a winery, or how was that? The winery and the horse ranch partnership sounds like a unique combination for sure. So can you share a little bit more about that experience?
Yeah, so I actually got married at the winery and my wife was loved it, and I was talking with the owner of the winery, and we talked about the possibilities of the property. It was a mm-hmm. fairly big property, mm-hmm. and through negotiations we came to an agreement. We built a contract, and we built kind of like a guest ranch style experience in this winery. Ultimately, the partnership wasn't exactly what I wanted, so mm-hmm. I transitioned out of that and bought this place.
Okay. Nice. So as an equestrian entrepreneur, I mean, what are some of those unique challenges that you have encountered in your journey?
It's been very interesting trying to build scalable models for this. And I've come to a point where I think I've cracked the code and found a way to make this a model that is scalable, and that you can bring in more employees and you can step away for a moment or two. And that's pretty rare in the horse industry. Yeah. It took a long time to get there. It's one of those things where, you have to think about it in multiple streams. You can't just have one focus point, or mm-hmm. else it's mm-hmm. not going to be highly successful. And then I think my biggest failure is, if you're going to purchase the land, that's great. If you're going to have contracts, you need to make sure those contracts are very, very clear, and mm-hmm. that, run it through a lawyer or two and maybe 10, and make sure that there's no way for you to lose your contract over something that was subtle.
Right.
You know, gross negligence is one thing, but something that's, you know, obviously going to happen, you have the right insurance, you shouldn't lose a contract over that.
Right.
But with good contracts comes longevity of business. So.
Yeah. And I mean, you learn through your mistakes or through your failures. So it's just making you stronger for sure in the business. So that's great. So the question industry can be somehow like traditional. So how do you introduce and implement like those innovative practices and technologies within your horse business?
Yeah. So early on, I was pretty innovative. So probably in 2013 or so, I added a book online software to my website. Mm-hmm. And I think I was the first one in California to do so.
Nice.
Don't come emailing me and yelling at me if you had it in 2012. I just didn't see it. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I thought that I was pretty genius. And in my area, definitely nobody else had it. And I was in the middle of nowhere, probably 3 hours away from any city that's worth, you know, its salt. Mm-hmm. And I was getting bookings. I was getting tons of bookings. That book online software was the pivoting point of the business. Nice. And I kept that going. And it wasn't until just pretty recently that my competition started following suit. So
Nice. So that's was that kind of the tipping point. And then you're doing a master's in computer science, right?
Yeah. Working towards my master's in computer science, emphasis on AI. And I have a lot of projects that are in the works for the horse industry, of course. So.
Oh, wow. So you're combining both of them then?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share a little bit about one, or is still in the works?
You know, some of them are fairly simple processes. So I don't want to really put it out there because there's probably a computer scientist out there that's in the horse industry that's going to listen to this and be like, I can already do that.
That's true.
I think that
I mean, to make the industry better, we need a little bit of more of technology for sure.
I think it's happening. And I think that there's a direct correlation between like the mind of a scientist or an engineer and a horse trainer. Like you want to break things down to the first principles. Both in engineering, you want to break things down to their smallest points and then build them back up. And so with horsemanship and training of horses, you want to break everything down to it's the bottom, the most foundationally simple thing possible, and then start from there and start working this horse back up from there. And if you could break it down to first principles all the way down to the bottom and then work your way back up, then you're going to have a better understanding of what's going on. First of all, why is the horse doing everything that it's doing? How do you get the horse to do everything that it's doing? And then how does that correlate to the riding, and then from the riding to the competition? And and once you can break everything down and understand every single little piece, then you've broke the code. And that's the same thing in engineering. You know, if you can reverse engineer it, then you can definitely put it back together. So.
Yeah. That's good how they correlate for sure. The technology aspect of
if we get more engineers and computer scientists in the horse industry, maybe we'll really get going.
Yeah. I actually have an engineering degree too, engineering, environmental engineering background. So.
So the first principles idea makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So what do you find to be the most rewarding aspect of this profession of owning your horse business?
The horses, of course. My wife tells me that she can tell the days that I'm working with the horses and the days that I'm not. Mm.
Are you still pretty hands-on?
Oh, with the absolutely. Horses? Yeah. I mean, I every day that I can be out there, I mean, I have a good team and they do a great job, but this is my passion. This is everything to me. So I'm there as often as I can be. And I like to be hands-on with the horse training and making sure the horses are right. And the lessons, there's a certain point where I get involved. It's kind of like karate, right? You have like your white belt, your yellow belt, then your brown belt and your black belt. So my employees are kind of in their own structure of their karate setup. And once they get to a certain point.
Different levels, yeah.
Yeah. So like if they if we have a student that has progressed through our level program to a certain point, well, then I have to step in. And that's awesome because then I'm working with somebody who's like when we're training, it's kind of like we're working together on training because it's like, okay, what competition do you want to go to? Cool. Let's figure this out. Let's go there. Or if it's something I've done before, it's like, okay, here's the steps. Let's pull out the flag. We're going to set up the flag. We're going to work the flag. We're gonna, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're trying to get out of the horse. This is the feel. And then it's like, it's really fun at that level, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So how many horses do you have right now?
24 or
Oh, well.
something. Yeah, something
Well,
like that.
yeah, different type of horses.
Yeah, we've got a good amount of quarter horses. Yeah, I mean, with the competitions that, so my wife is really fascinated with cutting, reining, and rein cow horse. So she's got a
Nice.
couple performance horses for that,
Oh, that's fun. That's
and then
cool.
really what we do is we find horses with some behavioral issues, and then I work them into our program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of
Try to
like. I take
train them, making
veterans
sure.
with, you know, some emotional issues and I try to help them through horses. And then I find horses with
With
behavioral
emotional
issues and I try
issues.
to get them in to help veterans. So,
Which one is easier? Probably the, I
oh,
don't know.
horses by
Or,
far. Horses. Yeah.
well.
Yeah. People can lie. Horses don't lie. So,
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. They can lie out their feelings, but horses, you really know how they're feeling.
Yeah, so horses will tell me exactly what's going on, and I can work with that. Veterans, however, 9 times out of 10, no problem. No, but I'm not trying to fix the problem. But they 9 times out of 10, they don't have a problem, and then they'll work with the horses for a few weeks, and like, you know, then they'll come to me and they'll be like, "Hey, man, I had a big problem, and the horses helped me." I'm like, "I knew it."
So how do you build and maintain that relationship with your clients and students? What steps do you take to ensure their satisfaction and loyalty
Yeah,
with your program?
everything's based on the horses and the progression. And so we have a system set in place that shows that there's progression. And if they're not progressing quick enough, then we'll have a sit down and talk to them about what's going on and where they think their block is and try to get past that. And once they get past, you know, a certain level, the excitement is we sponsor people with our horses and tack to go to competition, which is a pretty exciting option because it's very expensive to really
Oh
get
yeah.
into the horse
Oh
industry and
yeah.
go to these competitions. So when somebody is offering students that as like the light at the end of this tunnel, it's a good incentive, I think.
Oh yeah, that's great that you guys offer that sponsorship. So how do you envision the future of your equestrian entrepreneur venture and that impact that it can have on veterans and the equestrian industry? What are your like goals?
Yeah, I really enjoy the correlation between leadership and horsemanship. And I have been doing some leadership through horsemanship clinics. And I think that that is helpful for the veterans because it's putting them in a position where, again, there's no red tape. You don't have to go through the VA. I'm not saying that you have a mental problem. I'm not saying that you have a physical problem. I don't care about that. I'm just giving you an opportunity to work on your leadership through horses. And that might be something that's going to change your life drastically, like it did mine, or it might just help you with your leadership and your management style and give you a different perspective going back. And then on the other side of this is corporate leadership through horsemanship. This is a great program where you can see the correlations. You can see how subtle movements of your body make drastic changes on big animals. And if my subtle movements can make drastic changes on a big animal, then my subtle movements are impactful. And if they're impactful to the big animal, then they're impactful to your team too. So you need to watch what your body's doing and what it's saying. And you know, this is one piece of a big project I have, but
Wow, yeah,
it
that's
all
amazing.
directly correlates. So
Yeah, for sure. So you're already implementing this? You're already working with some CEOs of some
So
corporations?
I've had several teams. I'm fortunate enough to be in the Bay Area. Silicon Valley is right down the street. So I've had some really cool teams come out and enjoy my program. And
Nice.
I've I've gotten really great feedback on the correlation between leadership and horsemanship and the program we put together. And I also provide leadership through horsemanship clinics for veterans only. And so I've had several groups of veterans come out and enjoy this as well. And it's a growing part of our project. We're putting pods in the back of the property that face the ocean, and we're putting a food truck in the front. It's cowboy cookout, barbecue style food. Wow. So we'll be like a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco, working on educational processes like leadership through horsemanship, and our horsemanship program in general.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, so the entire team goes there to the ranch as well, right?
So then they'll be able to stay. Yeah,
team building and all that. Nice. Yeah, yeah, that's good to have those type of opportunities right there in the Bay Area. So how do you stay motivated and focused? Do you have any morning routine or anything that you can share with us?
Well, so my wife is the barn manager of all of our facilities. She's amazing. Her care for the horses is amazing. So when we rehabilitate these horses, the horses with behavioral problems, sometimes they're underweight or they have some lameness. And my wife is just, you know, she's a magic worker, and she gets them back to their health, but she also manages my entire life. And I have an old style written calendar, and I think my wife puts stuff in there to remind me, but she also puts it into my phone calendar, and I would be chaos without her. So she really is the glue that keeps the whole thing together.
She you guys met through horses, or is she?
Yeah. She's a wonderful horsewoman in her own right. She was a part of a therapy program when she was just maybe 12. She was a volunteer in the program, helping get it along. She's worked with some really amazing people in the horse industry. Her connections in the horse industry far outweigh mine. I'm just a cowboy, and she's refined. So
nice. So she helped also on the promotion of your business as well.
Oh yeah. We've built this together the whole way through. When she first came into the picture, I was like, how do I build a horse business? And I was thinking, okay, I'm a military guy. I know land navigation really well. I can hunt really well. I can shoot really well. All right, I'm going to do a packing trip. I'm going to do a packing business, packing people in for hunting trips. And so that was like what existed before she came in. And then she came in, and she's like, I think that with the land that you have, we should do wilderness kids camps. And so we from there I went and worked on getting contracts for that. And I found some, and we progressed into that. And then, you know, again, she's just been the pushing force to the next thing, because I got comfortable with that. And then she's like, I want to be closer to my family. Let's do something near Sacramento. I was like, okay. So then I went and I found all of the, you know, properties that were underutilized within the Sacramento area. And I found a couple that I liked. I put together a business plan and an executional model to make their business make more money. And I walked into one of them and I said, hey, here is an entire plan of how you can make more money. This is where your property is underutilized. This is where you're failing. And this is where I've checked out every aspect of your business. I've tried to book rides. I've tried to book lessons. I've tried X, Y, and Z. And this is where everything's failing. And this is how you could do better. And this is a better marketing scheme. And I said, you can have this for free. And I said, that's your plan now. However, if you bring me on and bring my team on and bring my horses on, I can guarantee I could hit those numbers. I don't know if you can, because you've been trying and you have some of this stuff going, but you're not hitting the numbers that I'm proposing here. If I come on, you can have a percentage of this, and I will run everything, and you have no risk anymore. It's just me, and you just get paid. Well, he accepted my offer, and that was so then I was like, all right, I went to my wife and I said, okay, now we're living close to your family. Great. Good. Okay, cool. And we did that for a good amount of time, and we got married and had our honeymoon. And she said, you know, what would be amazing is if we could have, a horse ranch where we got married, the winery. She's like, all right, that's what she wants now. Cool. So then I planned that, and I made that happen. We built the contract, and I got her winery horse ranch. And then she said she wanted a horse ranch on the beach. Wouldn't that be nice? And her here own. It is. I got it. I got her a horse ranch on the beach. So
nice. That's awesome.
The contracts were mean, but none of this would have happened without her. So
Yeah, that's great. That's great that you guys have that type of partnership, husband and wife partnership, which is amazing that you guys work together and everything. That's really good. So many aspiring equestrian entrepreneurs listening to our podcast. So what advice would you give to some of those that are looking to make those meaningful difference in the industry? I mean, kind of like how you got started, and what advice would you give to somebody that is thinking on doing that?
Yeah, organizational systems are really good. The more you could put your idea on paper and have it structured, the more realistic mm-hmm. that it is. That being said, when we did the Wilderness Kids camps, I got a contract, and they're like, okay, we need, you know, 12 kids or whatever, and two counselors, that's 14 horses plus mine and my wife's. And I looked over and I'm like, I have 6 horses. And I was like, absolutely, I can do that. Yeah. You sign the contract half up front, and yeah, we got this. And then I called my wife, like, hey, so we need to find 10 more horses. So, oh, gosh. And you know, so sometimes, you know, you got to put the cart before the horse, and know that you got to have the skill. You can't just say, oh yeah, I could do that, and not know how to train horses. Cause then you're in a really hard place. Cause you know how expensive getting bomb-proof finished horses you could put kids on to go through the wilderness is? That is a very expensive horse if you're going to buy it outright as good as it is, as they need to be. But if you can buy a horse with behavioral issues and you know how to go through the process, then you know, you can make it work.
Yeah, you can get them there. That's great. So can you walk us, it's probably not very typical, but can you walk us through like a typical day in the life of a horse business owner like you? I mean, what type of tasks, responsibilities do you have on a daily basis? You said you're still pretty hands-on, right?
Yeah. So, you know, every day is so different. Like the other day, we had a huge load of hay come in, and the squeeze operator decided not to show up. So we have a huge semi truck that shows up to drop off hay. Luckily we have a bobcat. But a bobcat with forks is not the same as a squeeze. Mm-mm. So we're just pushing this hay off of the semi truck, and now we're hand loading it. And as we're hand loading it, it was like my employees were falling off like flies. It was like one of them said, oh, okay, I hurt my knee. I was like, okay, go ice your knee. And the next was like, I hurt my hand. Okay, go ahead. By the end of the day, it was just me and my business partners throwing the hay. All of our employees are just sitting on the sidelines watching because they all got hurt. you know, they're there to ride horses, not to
work
1,000 barrels of hay in a day.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. How many employees did you have in your operation?
I think we're at 12 employees.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you have a lot then of employees. So what type of tools, like, did you use to manage and operate your business? I mean, do you use any type of software management tools?
Yeah. So right now we're using, for the booking software, we're using Zola.
Oh, okay.
XOLA, and it is a fairly good software. I've tried all of them, and I have my ups and downs on all of them. And you know, I've tried even implementing my own, and that has its own set of headaches. So you know, the perks of Zola is that, you know, it doesn't charge me. It's free and it's pretty robust, but it does charge an extra fee to your clients. So they get a, you know, fees and services at the bottom, just like, you know, Fandango or in, so when they check out, they pay that fee to the software, and I don't have to pay.
So you don't have like a monthly subscription membership for that?
Or? No. It's a free software, and free for you, but not free for your clients. Right, so your clients pay for you to be able to use the software. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay. So that's kind of the difference. And then you use your like normal like accounting software, like QuickBooks and all that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We use QuickBooks, of course. My business partner takes on the administrative stuff, and he does a great job on that.
Oh, okay.
And the day-to-day operation is all 12 of us, the whole team has their part in that.
Right.
And then the big picture is we're turning this into a tiny guest ranch, and you know, the collaboration between all of us to make that big picture happen is
What is the timeline on that?
When the food truck's going to be there by the end of next month.
And oh wow!
We started building the first two pods. They're going to be high end, so it's going to take some time to build these things right. Nice. But I think that we should have, you know, the first five pods up in 6 months or so.
And are these going to be like the how many rooms are we going to have, or is it just going to be
so one room per pod? Okay. They'll have a bathroom, and so it'll be self-sustained, and it'll be facing the ocean. So it'll be up nice. On the bluff facing the ocean, and behind it will be the horse ranch. So it'll be a really cool experience oh, nice. For those who can see.
Oh yeah. There. Yeah, for sure. So we have a passion for environmental sustainability. So do you implement some environmental sustainability at your ranch, or what? Composting or things like that.
Yeah. So all of the manure on our property goes to a local flower farm.
Nice.
And so he does the composting on that and turns that into flowers. And that's been a really good relationship, and glad to be a part of that. And then my business partner has a green thumb, and he's got a goal for this property. He's going to landscape it and put gardening aspects mm-hmm. to it. And we want to make it so that people are able to just come into the garden and pick their vegetables and, you know, make it a kind of more of a communal thing.
Nice.
For those that are a part of our facility. So.
Yeah. Do some gardening there too. So do you have good water access there?
Oh, we have for city water. So good.
Still in the city.
Yeah. We're in the city. We're just a few minutes away from the San Francisco Zoo. We're right there.
Oh, wow.
Right on
the
coastal line.
Nice. So you're pretty new to that area, right? I mean, what tools do you use to promote your business on that area?
Just
locally.
I do the marketing for our team, okay. and I've done the marketing every step of the way in each one of these businesses. I do a lot of social media outreach, and I do community outreach as well. So we are part of any programs that are going on in the cities surrounding that can mm-hmm. involve horses. We'll get involved. And obviously we got to get our SEO up, and that's mm-hmm. Been our challenge that we've been working on for the last six mm-hmm. months. It takes time for that to progress.
Right, to build. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So right now we're doing pay to play and doing, you know, paying for advertising. Mm-hmm. But as we build the SEO up and my blogs get more attention and, you know, we're doing some content building now. I just hired a couple people to do 100 pieces of content a week. So we're about to change the narrative a little bit for this one. In the past, I've been building these businesses to sell, so I've kept myself out of the narrative. Mm-hmm. And I am not selling this one. And I think I did a disservice for the last decade of not putting myself in the narrative and, you know, trying to make this business mm-hmm. revolve around the business. Mm-hmm. My fear early on was that if I put myself in and tried to be the trainer that this business was revolved around, then there'd be no selling point, because if I stepped away, the business would collapse
right.
around me.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. the goal was to build the business around the brand of the business's name rather than myself. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to build the business around the brand of the business name and also allow myself to be a part of the narrative as a subject matter expert in the horse industry, both as a businessman and a horseman. So.
Yeah, that's great. And it keeps you both suspect. I mean, it's good to see who is behind the business as well.
Yeah.
So it's good to show the face of the brand, the personal brand as well. So do you also compete, or do you have you done competitions or no?
I am not very competitive on that end. What I want to do is good horsemanship.
Yeah.
And so I will, I did a 50-mile endurance race last weekend because one of my students wanted to do it.
So you did it with
I'm
him.
Pretty sure I came in like close to last place, but I finished. it wasn't about the, you know, the competition. I wasn't in it to be the first place, but right. I will dabble in every competition. Whatever my students want to do, I will do it too, and show them that here's even me in this, you know, I've over a decade of being in the horse industry. I can turn a horse around from never being touched to being ridden very quickly. I have, you know, a passion and a skill for training horses. And I will go into any one of these competitions, humble myself, learn mm-hmm. and grow in it. So.
How long did it took you to learn that? I mean, you said how many years did it took you from like college when you first were starting about learning about horses to this point where you're comfortable getting a horse breaking?
So I mean, like in high school, I could ride horses. When I was in the military, I could ride horses. Well, I don't know. Then I went to the process of tipping these Mustangs, and it was without this veteran that was doing it with me. I don't know if I could have made it through this process, but from the time I started with him to the time I ended with him, towards the end, I could go through the whole process. I could take the Mustang and go through this whole process, no problem, by myself without him. So that was the first step. And that took me less than a year to understand this whole process. And he was sending me to clinics and I was learning about natural horsemanship, which it was funny that he would send me to these clinics because he didn't really do as he was sending me to these clinics to learn a better way. And I loved it. And then I would go back and I'd be like, hey man, can I teach you what I'm learning? Cause you're kind of not doing it.
Oh.
And that was a fun, you know, thing, but, and then, you know, over the years, what happens is, again, getting down to first principles and then coming back up, I keep going back down and figuring out what am I missing and then building back up. Mm. I can do it so quick now, but I was able to do it back then too. Mm-hmm. Just the amount of time that it takes, like now it's just like second nature. I could see the things and it's like, oh, it's this and this. And you know, if I go to the ranch and I see that someone's having something with a horse that's not right, I can usually say, okay, well, if we just move soft, do this, you know, I it's just intuitive now. While before, sometimes it would take, you know, a couple wrong answers and I'd work through it. And then I'd be like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, we got it. Or I'd have to watch 20 videos to find somebody who's done it or call up a professional that I, you know, have in my contacts and be like, hey, I'm hitting this barrier. What do you think? It's been a long time since I've had to do that for basic, you know.
Nice. So you're at that point now. Yeah. That's great. So it took like many years in the
years.
Works.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wanted to have kind of a perspective that, I mean, it doesn't happen really fast. I mean, it's a slow process and.
Oh yeah. Horsemanship. And you're never done. You're never done learning.
Right.
And I learn new processes and new concepts and new theories and I get excited to see how it works. And, there's always somebody bigger and badder, and if you can get them to teach you, that'd be amazing. This is a world of mentorship, constant progression. I'm constantly looking for the next person to teach me. So
constant learning. That's great. So where can our listeners find more information about you and about your business?
Yeah. If the listeners are having questions for me, they can go to Zachary@OceanViewStables.com and I'm happy to answer any questions. If you are in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco area, the Silicon Valley area, and you want to come out and ride a horse, or if you're a military veteran, come on out. It's at OceanViewStables.com and we are located just a few minutes from the San Francisco Zoo.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I mean, if next time I go to San Francisco, I'll go visit you guys for sure. I go there sometimes. I have family there, so I'm in Florida, so it's a little bit far of a flight, but yeah, for sure I'll go and visit you guys. I mean,
good. Next,
yeah,
send me an email before you come.
great. So this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. I mean, it's very interesting and I learn a lot about your horsemanship and your style and all that. So thanks again for joining us today, and hope you have a great day.
Great.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We hope you enjoy it. Please remember to follow us, subscribe, and leave us a review. If you are interested in joining us as a guest or sponsor one of our episodes, feel free to email us at thehorsebusinesspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're looking for ways to make your horse operation more sustainable and environmentally friendly, you can reach out to us at horsebusinessmanagement@gmail.com or check out our website at www.horsebusinessmanagement.com. And follow us on Instagram to get the latest updates. Goodbye.